Welcome back. This is Love Variants, and today is a special, special, special episode. We have a few of our amazing friends here with us for this special episode. So we're going to start around the room. Y'all know who I am. I'm Dominique.
Kyle. Ooh.
That was terrible. He mourning right now, y'all. So we're going to start with you. What's your name?
Yusuf.
What's your name?
I'm Shana.
What's your name?
Mills.
What's your name?
I'm Stacia.
What's your name?
Indy.
Robert. And this is our crew, y'all. This is our lovely crew. We're missing a few, but they decided to join us on this podcast. Actually, I kind of just threw it on them, so they have no idea what's about to happen.
None.
But this episode is not going to play. You hear my nephew JoJo on the back, so he's making his debut. Hey, JoJo. So before we get started, we're going to pray. So, Lord God, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for bringing us all together, God, and just fellowship, God. We ask that you just use us, God. Give us the words to say, how to say them, so that we can encourage others that may have dealt with things or is dealing with things, God. Let this podcast be more than just a podcast, but this is definitely our ministry, God. And we just thank you for putting people in our lives that can help us, and we can help and teach and guide each other, God, the way you want us to. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so this... Oh, that was deep. Amen. So, this episode is Flag on the Play. Flag on the Play is what can happen or what things can go on in your relationship where you got to be like, yo, flag on the play. We can't have that, or how do you deal with those things? So that's what that's about. So do you guys have anything that you guys have been through, or even this with your marriages? Mind you, everybody is married here but Kyle and I. So
it's coming.
Okay. So what are some things with your marriage or even previous relationships to you that were that was like a flag on the play, like, nah, we can't stand for that, or what have you done to kind of figure it out? Y'all quiet. Well, I can start. Okay. So flag on the play for me is people think cheating is just the act, right? Flag on the play for me is what happens to get you to that act. It starts with conversation, emotional cheating. That's a big thing. Just entertaining the opposite sex, knowing that you're already in a committed relationship. Or, like I seen a meme, if you know you got to delete your text messages because if your other half saw it, that they will be offended by it, then you know it's wrong. So it's things like that. That, to me, is a flag on the play. So that's an example. Okay.
That was a parent hit. Y'all don't understand. We got kids here.
What y'all think? I mean, there's different things when it comes to people who have blended families. And you have to deal with the other parents. You know, what's a flag on the play to keep it mutual on both ends? It's a lot of different.
I think another one is, so like, you're married, but your significant other has a friend or something that's not married.
Mm.
Like, I feel like that friend has to respect our marriage.
Absolutely.
And they have to watch what they say. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Text anything. It shouldn't be no females, no... You know what I'm saying? You just got to watch what you say to a married man.
I agree. That was person. That's Stacia talking, y'all. That's good, sis. That was a good one. Anybody else got one? Okay, Saints.
I'll have to say, letting other people dictate what goes on in your household.
Uh-oh.
Like taking outside advice from people that don't have a clear perspective on what it is to be married and what it takes to keep a family together. So taking their outside opinion and bringing it into your relationship to change the dynamics is something that a lot of people should take heed to and just cancel that out.
That's good. That's Mills, y'all. That was Mills. Anybody else?
So right now we're just throwing out topics.
Just anything, bro. Oh my goodness. We thought you had some.
I'm thinking of something good. I mean, but
y'all thinking? Okay.
I mean, because I mean, of course, I have stuff to say as far as for the topics y'all already done brought up. Those are some really good topics, but as far as, you know, I don't have one.
Come on, sis. Come on. For somebody who said they was going to be quiet.
Okay, so flag on the play. Like, if we at a grocery store or something like that.
Oh,
and
shoot. The grocery store?
Yeah. Then you see, like, or someone that your husband might know somebody from a previous job or something like that. And it's a female, and she walks up and don't acknowledge me at all, but
oh,
she
no.
reach for a hug and stuff like that. I'm like, flag on the play.
Oh, no, that's an elbow to the jaw. Like, that's an elbow.
Like,
you about to get these tomatoes at your head,
right?
Like.
What do you think about that?
Yeah,
there's a flag right there.
That's right. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Yeah.
Good answer. Good answer, bro. Good answer.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, you know, we, us going through our premarital state, you know, we have our flags all the time because we're still combining our things and trying to understand all of our stuff. You know what I mean? And so, you know, a flag on a play could be going to bed angry. You know what I mean? And then not holding each other or not allowing the other side to go. And, you know, we have our time. You know, will we do that, you know, sometimes? Or we're both real stubborn,
yes,
right?
Yes,
and
God.
So we have that understanding that we're not going to bed mad. But then at the end of the day, we're both stubborn, so we'll both be on the other side of the bed. Like, I ain't going to touch that person. I ain't going to touch that person either. You know, it is what it is. So, you know, really we are looking for things that, you know, you can speak on because there are times that, you know, y'all might be going through something that they might be going through, that they might be going through, that we might not want to go through, but we don't know, you know what I'm saying, unless that you say it. So this is really what this all is about, asking those questions, being able to talk about those questions and do those certain things.
You faking at
the show
point.
Is.
You were so
it
faking.
Like, in.
If you want to be on here, nephew, that's all you had to say. What's some more flag on the place?
I think I got one.
Okay, bro.
Everybody so, quiet.
Just, if, you know, allowing insecurities to, you know, take over or interfere with your marriage, you know, those are things that you got to really, you know, work on with your spouse. You know, some people think, you know, you could work on them things by yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and some people like, well, that's a you problem. You need to fix it. But, you know what I'm saying? A lot of the times when insecurities come up, it's because, you know, of course, something that happened in the past or something else that you haven't done to allow them to feel comfortable enough to, you know, not feel that way. So, I mean, just allowing those insecurities to fuel, you know, parts of your relationship, that can definitely be a hindrance, man. That's a big problem.
I agree.
No,
I agree.
I want to speak about triggers.
Speak louder.
You hear me? Triggers. You know, if you know that, just previously, everybody has a past, everybody has a story. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you come into relationships where you could find yourself, you know, trying to basically not harbor on the past or dwell on the past because you want to give that person a fear advantage, you know, and you never want to compare. But a lot of people have gone through things, you know, they have been broken, they have been hurt, they have been, constantly, repeatedly abused. However, you know, I don't know a lot of people's stories, but I'm just throwing it out there. But you never want to come into a relationship knowing somebody's past and still knowing that you know their past, that you allow yourself to be something similar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm.
So, just for instance, an example I'm just throwing out there, but if, say, that a person was abused mentally, mm-hmm. you know, you're knowing that they were abused mentally. You, as a person, you know, it's your job to encourage. It's your job to say, okay, I know what you've been through, so I don't want to look nothing like mm-hmm. your ex. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to remind you of that familiar spot or that
yes.
familiar place. Yeah. So I'm going to build you mentally instead of abuse you mentally. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that just goes with just everything around, like whether it's domestic violence, you know somebody had a past of that. You never want to come off where you feel like, you know,
they become scared of you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a bunch of different examples, but just try not to look familiar to somebody's past.
That's good.
I like
that. I think that's a very important one.
I like that. So sure. Let's piggyback off that, though. How do you stop that trigger from being a trigger, though? So if you have a trigger as a female, mm-hmm. and your spouse is a certain type of way, they've always been that certain type of way, right? They can't necessarily fully change overnight for that to be a trigger. Okay. That's something that you both have to then, you know, sit down and talk to and say, hey, this is what triggers me. How can I help change this? Because at the same time, you got to heal, because that other person can't then walk on, can't walk around on eggshells based off of the triggers that you have. Yes, you're supposed to respect the triggers, and, you know, you're not like, well, you know, I was abused, so I'm not going to down talk you every single day or anything of that nature. But, you know, if it's an argument, you can't then be like, oh, well, that's a trigger. I got, you know, we can't have this conversation anymore. You know what I mean? You can't use that trigger as a crutch. Yeah.
You want to be healed to a certain extent. You know, you want to be healed to a certain extent where, you know, you kind of want to clench yourself or clean yourself. You kind of want to clench yourself or clean yourself out, you know, before, you know, getting into something new. You don't want to be reminded. You don't want them triggers. So I feel like it's like a healing process, like a self-cleanse. I'm going to clean myself out before I start this thing.
Absolutely.
Because if I start this thing and I'm not cleaned out or I'm not emptied out,
that's right.
Then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pour it all on this person.
You're going to bleed on that person.
You know, so I want to heal. I want to do an inner healing within me, because I can get with this person and they may not even know they're triggering me, but just because I have so much pain or deepness or brokenness, it's automatically going to be like everything triggers me. Mm-hmm. When you're broken, when you're, you know, you're hurt, when you're allowing things to not be let go, everything's going to trigger you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it's the healing process. That's when you become numb to the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're at a place where you're just like, you know, at this point, I can care less because I'm not that same person. I'm not going to go back into that place. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a healing process. Anybody else?
Come on, Minister Yusuf. I see you got a word on. It's in there. No, it's stirring up.
Like, well, until you figure out them triggers, like, do you confront them or do you avoid them? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you gotta confront them.
Me personally, I gotta confront them.
Yeah. You gotta look into the mirror and be able to identify your flaws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what it is, because it's easy to point the finger at everybody. Mm-hmm. But at what point in your life are you gonna be able to look at yourself and say, this is something I'm better at?
Mm-hmm.
This is something I'm going through.
Yeah.
God, you know, do something with me, mm-hmm. you know. Because if you don't do something within your inner self, everything around you is not going to make sense.
Yes.
Everything around you is going to make you mad. Everything around you is going to make you upset. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to find yourself just sometimes just lashing just on whoever and whenever.
Yeah.
But I feel like he said, you know, you got to look into the mirror and be able to say, this is what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
This person ain't make me do it. This person ain't. This is my problem, and I'm going to deal with it front hand and confront yourself.
A lot of people don't know that they have those problems. They don't even know that they have an issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people don't see those issues, and that's why it's so majorly important for couples and individuals to go through, like, therapy and couples therapy and different things, because there's things that happen in people's past that they don't even realize is a problem, and they bring it into their marriage.
Yeah.
And they like, hey, they think that you're supposed to be that knight in shining armor, but it's something that you need to, you know, cleanse, like you said, cleanse out of yourself personally before you take on this, you know, issue. And the thing is, I mean, with going through couples therapy and figuring these things out, that helps that other person know how to help, you know, help how to, you know, basically not treat you, but help support you through that situation, how to get through that next level of healing and that process or whatever. I mean, therapy can go a long way, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, even financially, you know what I'm saying? A lot of issues that come up in finances that people don't understand when it comes to marriage. Like, you don't understand how people manage their money, man. That could be the
breaking
point of a household.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got somebody who, I mean, I know we didn't go through a major financial breakdown in our early on marriage counseling. and not it was in a make or break situation for us, but I didn't have to realize in the beginning, like, she didn't do money like I did money. I did money differently, you know what I'm saying? She didn't understand money like I understood money, and I didn't understand how she did her, you know, her money. But that can be a real problem, you know what I'm saying, in a household if you don't understand how to spend your money, if you don't know how to save money, you don't know how to do bills or management of different certain things or whatever. And that's just a small portion of what can happen, you know, things that you don't uncover in a situation, just even with abuse. You know, you gotta uncover those things, you know what I'm saying? And some people I've heard, and I haven't met anybody personally, but some people suppress things so much to where they don't even know that they, you know, they don't even remember or know that these things are going on until after somebody has brought it up or brought up in counseling.
That's real.
That's true, don't suppress.
Yeah. So can y'all tell us how long y'all been married? How many years y'all been married? So, Robbie and India, I know y'all going on, what, 5 or 6?
7.
Okay. Yeah. Station, you said?
3 years on Tuesday.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Happy anniversary. Yeah. Okay, Mel and Shana.
We on a year and a half, 2 years next May.
Okay. I see y'all.
Feel like that.
That's when you know it's real.
Right.
So is there anything as married couples that you have learned, and that for somebody who's getting ready to step in that, for you guys, this is you guys' first marriage, but for us, this would be our second time. So what advice would you give us going into it again? Let's start from the newest, and then we'll go from the 2 to the 3 to the 7.
that's tough, man, because we still learning as we go. It's a learning process is the biggest thing that I can say, because just like Rob was saying, you know, it's so many things that are different that each person does that we have to get a grasp and understand, you know, even if we feel like our way is better as opposed to theirs, we still have to gain some type of understanding. So it becomes a big thing about observing and listening to your other half to gain some type of consciousness or understanding of the way they view life, the way they view how to handle money, the way they view how to handle different relationships with people and so on and so forth. So I would say that a major thing to do is observe and listen, and if you do that properly, it'll help y'all go a lot further in, with mending and molding things, bringing y'all family together as well.
That's good.
And communicate. Always communicate. You know, take time to hear each other out. You know, if you're going through something, he's going through something, y'all have a disagreement, try to find the mutualness in it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just always say, well, I'm right and I'm right. You know, find some type of common ground. Even if you feel like you're right, even if he feels like he's right, you know, where can y'all meet in the middle where it's resolved? Mm-hmm. You know, this is not a lingering thing where, you know, it's on the next day, then now y'all find yourself beefing for the whole week. Mm. You know, you don't want to do that. You know, resolve it, state the issue, get it resolved, and keep it moving.
That's good. Thank you, Paris. Mm-hmm. All right, Miss Station, Mr. Use.
Okay, so I would say definitely communication, because you can't talk at the same time. Listen, one person talk, let them talk, then I go talk, but you can't go back and forth at the same time because you never hear what the other person is saying. So definitely communication. One thing about me and you, so we don't be mad for long. We like crazy. Like, 1 minute, I'll be mad, and like a couple seconds later, like, hey, what you want to eat? Like, it just, I never go to bed mad. I can't do it.
That's good.
One thing for sure is patience. You got to have patience, at least with me, because when I see my wife going through things and I want to try to help her out and you know, I just try to tell her, do this, do that, do this. Sometimes you just gotta let her go through what she gotta go through. You know what I mean? No matter how much it pains you, or it's like, well, it seems so simple to me, but to her, you know, she's still figuring it out. So It's most definitely patience, you know what I mean? You know, I think that's patience, and I know why I said communication is probably number one.
This is the most I've ever heard you talk. I love it. Good job, y'all. I love it. All right. Richardson's.
I think for 7 years, or going on 7 years, the dwelling of God, you know, keeping God. I mean, if you look at it from his point of view, you got a man that worships God, mm-hmm. that truly worships God. I mean, you got a woman that truly worships God. They have a relationship with God. It's only so much they're going to do to hurt you. Mm. They have a relationship with God. The Bible says that the man is supposed to love their wife as much as he loved the church. Mm-hmm. I need you to know who God is. I need you to know his heart so mm-hmm. you can know how much or how to love me. Mm. You will never, it's no way for a man to know how to love a woman if they don't have that connection with God the way that God would want them to.
Absolutely.
So I think it's similar to faith. The Bible says that that our faith should start off as a mustard seed. Mm-hmm. Our love will start off like that. A mustard seed of faith is powerful. Mm-hmm. And it just and if you take love and compare it to the mustard seed of faith at that time, it should be powerful. But it could be even more powerful if you allow God to grow in.
That's and good.
With it, like, nothing is going to ever be perfect, but mm-hmm. just knowing that you really just upset me, and I'm willing to go to the throne. I'm willing to pray and move past this part because I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm not able to go to sleep not mad. Mm-hmm. You know, a person may be able to go to sleep happy. Mm-hmm. You know, but to me, mainly just keeping God with you. Just a lot of trials and tribulations you will experience, whether it's financially, mentally, physical things. People gain weight. People, finances take a detour. Let's even talk about when a woman starts to be the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. You know, just having God in the midst of that, because some men can't handle that.
Correct.
Some men can't handle it. So it's almost just like, I got to take God everywhere I go. And I'm not trying to be like an old woman or nothing, like, oh, this is a God person. I'm not trying to do it. I'm serious because I do it for myself. You just take God wherever you, when you want to give up, he's the source of your strength. When you want to walk away, he's the depth of that walk. Like even sometimes you got to snot and cry. Like, you know, some people even question, like, is this what's supposed to be going on in a marriage? Is this what I'm supposed to be going through? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, a lot of times, people can't give you an answer to what you're going through in your situation anyway.
But God.
So it's best to keep God in your pocket, definitely.
Amen. Come on.
So I'll say...
I think Robbie was going.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rob. My fault, Rob. Go ahead. Go ahead and do what you do. Go do what you do. Go do what you do.
I mean, honestly, my wife, like, really took the words out of my mouth because we come from two different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And I know where I came from and where I was compared to where I am now. And a lot of that was really pride. You know, when I let go of the pride and let God really, you know, in on our relationship fully, not, you know, because it was really pride keeping us bound because I didn't want to submit and really, you know, go to God for things that was going on. I didn't want to pray about things that was really going on. I thought I had it under control. I mm-hmm. thought I could do it myself. Mm-hmm. I was really in a place where I was thinking, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, is this really worth it, you know, worth the headache and worth the struggle and the battle for real. But when I did allow God to actually come into our relationship and I just let myself go and let God really enter into our relationship and start bringing God in, it got to the point where we were just like how, you know, Minister Stacia and Yusuf say they were like, we can be upset and arguing 1 minute, and the next minute we talking about, man, so what you want to watch? You know what I'm saying? Like, it gets like that. You know, you got to get to that place in your mind, like, this is my wife. I'm not going nowhere. She not going nowhere. I love her. We had this argument. We ain't agree on this, but we about to, I mean, that's it. That's all it is. And you see, we let our flesh get involved and be like, man, we let it take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. We let our flesh allow it to go from, you know, we arguing about this and we make this thing that's so small in our marriage make it a big old mountain that, like, we can't get over this hill when it really ain't even that big. It's nothing. Yeah. You know, and we allow, and thank God we have a pastor. We have a pastor that loves us as much because she's helped us and coached us through a lot of those small, stupid problems, knowing she shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
But she took the time and allowed and helped me to see, like, it's bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This situation is bigger. Like, this is, you're not seeing it where I need you to see it from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you start to realize and understand where you really see, you really need to look in this situation, realize that it's not a physical thing. It's really, it's a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual battle. You know, when you start to really look at it for what it really is, you start to understand, like, I see why the enemy is attacking us like this. And it's so small when you really think about it. The arguments, the stuff that you, when you really think about what y'all be arguing about when it comes down to a marriage, you like, is it even worth the argument? Mm-hmm. Is it worth the tension? Is it worth the separation? Like, am I really going to sit here and argue with my wife all night long, or, you know what I'm saying, or whatever? So it's like, you just let God, you know, into your marriage, allow him to really build and be the thread between your marriage. And, you know what I'm saying, it's nothing that y'all can't do together. You know, business, finances, just taking care of the kids, everything. There's nothing y'all can't do together. Like, when we, you know, we're dealing with things with our son, in and out the hospital, different things, we had to pray together, because those type of things will separate your marriage. You start fighting because everybody's on edge. Everybody has, you know, everybody's, you know, feeling some kind of way. And you got to really pray and ask God to really come into the situation and mend it for you. You know what I'm saying? Because anything can trigger you. You know, your child going through something, anything gonna set you off. Your wife say something or your husband say something, it can be the smallest thing and you'll just snap at them, but you really don't want to take it out on them, but it's just,
it happens.
It happens. Yeah.
It happens.
You know what I'm saying? You start projecting frustrated. That energy out onto your spouse because they're the closest thing to you, because you're frustrated, you know, because you're going through something. So we really had to really sit there and pray with each other and ask God to take control of the situation and handle the situation and be the, you know, mending between us so we can work together to get through the situations. You know what I'm saying? We've really done that. It's like, I'm not telling nobody nothing that we haven't done, or we saying it just because we in the ministry.
Yeah.
No, we've really had to sit down and pray with each other and to get each other to a place where we're working together during anything, any situation, from finances to our sons, I mean, health to anything. So, go ahead, man.
And to piggyback on what Shonda said, you know, not taking so much time out to be an irritant in a relationship. If it's something that triggers the spouse, if it's something that you don't see nobody else's spouse doing, it's probably the biggest, it's probably the best idea is probably to refrain from that behavior until God fixes it in you.
Mm-hmm.
Or even to pull one of your brothers or sisters to the side and ask them, how do you stay focused? How do you deal with these type of situations? Because when you're new to things, or even when you're in the thing for a long time, it's always a good thing to get new information from people that have wisdom. People with wisdom are the people that have been married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your pastor or therapists or counselors or your friends that's been married for years. How do you work through these things? Yes.
That's good. I have a really quick question for y'all. So when it comes to mental health, and especially in the Black community, people is always like, you know, just pray about it.
Yeah.
When you see depression, the spirit of depression in your relationship, or you see your spouse being down more than usual, what do you think you would do in that situation?
An unhealthy person would ignore that person and cast them out, shut them out, turn the TV up above them, or do things that make them feel alone. Mm-hmm. And it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
But what I feel like should happen is an embracement.
Mm-hmm.
Because it could just be one thing. Like, I was even crying the other day, and I was like, God, when am I going to get back to me?
Mm-hmm.
When am I going to
be India, where I'm walking, running around the house, cleaning up. I'm moving fast. I want to move.
But let's also be clear. You just had a beautiful baby. Yes. Congratulations to you both.
Like you said, we're talking about mental health.
Yeah.
It's a mental thing.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
Part of that postpartum.
Yes. I know that things are supposed to be one way, but it's not the way that I feel physically.
Correct.
So, you know, it's a mental thing. So, instead of Robert staying downstairs and ignoring me or something, mm-hmm. he comes and stay with me mm-hmm. and holds me while I cry.
That's
because
wonderful.
I'm trying to put it back together again. Mm-hmm. I can't put the pieces back together again and identify myself by myself because you remember me.
Mm-hmm.
You remember mm-hmm. how I was, and mm-hmm. I need you to help
remind me.
Help me yes. bring this full circle.
That's beautiful.
So to everybody else, they're like, oh, Amy, you look beautiful. You just that. But
you ain't see these snot tears.
She seen me at the hospital, and uh-huh. It was just a total distortion. It was totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I'm saying, just coming from that place even to today, everything mm-hmm. physically is not where I would want it to be. But I'm going to say mentally, God is putting it back together slow. And mm-hmm. He's doing it for
Amen.
Me. Yeah, he's doing it for
that's
me.
That's beautiful.
See, that's what I was saying about, you know, men and us putting our pride aside for certain things, because the old me, honestly, mm-hmm. and it's sad because I didn't know anything about, you know, how she would handle things or mental health. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I used to just be like, man, she just wants some attention. She faking it. She just, you know,
she being extra.
Yeah, she's just doing too much. But see, that's because I had no understanding,
okay.
you know, of what I was dealing with. And that's why I said those things are so important to have understanding, accounting, getting counseling on, and understanding your spouse and how to deal with certain things. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it took an awesome teacher to come in and let me know, like, why aren't you doing these things? And even the word of God, like loving your wife like you love Christ, you know, love. So it's like, if I can go to church and do what I do at the church, mm-hmm. clean up, take care of the ministry, make sure everybody else good, why can't I do that at home?
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Why can't I do the same things for my wife, make sure my wife is good and happy at home?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, so me being I wouldn't say, you know, no street dude, but I was pretty hard where I just was like, I didn't understand that. I would put it off sometimes or put her off, but I had to humble myself and be like, let me go get my wife. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
That's
I don't want to see my wife hurt. I don't want to see her crying like this. I need to a better understanding. I may not understand why she feels the way she feels and thinks the way she thinks,
mm-hmm.
but let me see if I can, you know, console her a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and do what I can.
That's good. I'm learning something today.
So what I was going to say earlier was, I think that we have a gift and a curse because we've both been married before, right? And so the little small things that new married couples go through, you know, you don't want to go through it again. So you're like, oh, that's a red flag. We ain't doing that no more. You know what I'm saying? And then you would almost cancel somebody out in that sense of that. Because you're like, all right, because you're doing this and I've already dealt with that, then now you're gone. Which goes back to the triggers and things of that nature. But a lot of it has to do with actually just learning who the other person is, right? A big thing that I know in relationships is everybody has to have their release for certain things. You know what I mean? Whether it's sitting in front of, you know, the TV and playing a video game, or whether it's going and, you know, going out and getting your nails done. Something.
Bless God.
Because there's so much on each individual mm-hmm. that the other individual really isn't taking the time to understand mm-hmm. that you're like, hey, I just need this release. You know what I'm saying? So for me, sports is my release. You know what I mean? Just being able to sit there and not think about anything for, let's say on a Sunday, for 3.5 hours. You know what I'm saying? That's just my thing. I don't want to have to worry about anything outside of the house, inside of the house, anything for those 3.5 hours, because I understand out of the other 7 days of the week, or the other 6 days of the week, I got to be this, I got to be that, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that, I got to do that. And a lot of times people just don't understand that. You know what I mean? And I'm not talking about her or anything of that nature, but we're just saying, I'm not. But I'm just saying, you literally have to be able to have that release on both sides. And even as parents, it is very important to still date your spouse. Amen. You know what I mean? Because there's so much, you know what I'm saying? Especially with y'all, right? Y'all got a newborn. Y'all got little man. Y'all got a newer born. You know what I'm saying? And then little man. And for all of that, most of the time, you wake up, the first thing you think about is, I got to get these kids ready, right? Then the next thing is, all right, well, what I got to do to provide for the family? It's never, man, you know what? I just really want to know how I'm going to take care of my spouse today. You know, it's never that. That's always the last thing on the totem pole. And that's the worst thing, because without that person, without that person, you know what I'm saying, your day is going to be in a fluster without regardless. You know what I mean? And so you have to take that time out, whether it's once a week, whether it's twice a month. Yeah. You got to be able to take time out and be like, hey, we ain't going to have no kids today. We sending them somewhere. We going to get them some Benadryl real quick. Whatever it is, you know, you have to be able to take that time. Be like, hey, man, we about to go date today. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's dating it in the room. You know what I'm saying? Setting up some candles, setting up something. You don't want that to ever become an issue where it's something that you're like, man, you know, my spouse don't even know who I am. And I think that's why it's so big to date them still, because when you go on a date, when y'all were courting each other and you went on a date, you were trying to figure out who that person is. And as the relationship continues to go, everybody changes in some form or fashion. So when you go out and date, figure out who the other person still is. You still got to understand all of that in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, that's how we actually started doing our little tradition we do every year, instead of going out on Valentine's Day. One Valentine's Day, we just, of course, we couldn't get no babysitter. Everybody mm-hmm. doing anything. Mm-hmm. Everybody, so we just did it up at the house, you know, and that became our yearly tradition. Mm-hmm. We go to the Westside Market. Go grab some meats together, shrimp and lobster and whatever we want, crab legs, and then we dress up, you know, do some candles. You know, it might sound cheesy, but that's how fun. We did it, because
it's just y'all.
It's just us. When we ain't no point to go out to Red Lobster and
no wait time.
Right. At least I know the food gonna be right.
Right. Ain't gotta worry about none of that. Ain't gotta worry about a babysitter. We still make sure we have our day. That's what we do.
That's mm-hmm. beautiful. Yeah. So that's perfect. I'm glad you mentioned that. So now we're gonna go around to each couple. If you see, or not even if you see, but what can you do, or what do you do for your spouse to put a smile on their face? Like, what's the perfect date for you to plan for your spouse? We can start with Anastasia. You want to go somewhere else since you need some time to think?
Yeah.
All right, come on, Shana and Mill. What's the thing that you know, like, she done had a hard day at work, the kids driving both of y'all crazy, y'all got a babysitter, you dropped the babies off, the kiddos. What you doing? What you doing? What you doing for your baby?
Shana is one of those cheesy persons, just like Roger said. She wouldn't care if it was at the house or anything. She always bring me back to time we had when we were, like you said, we were courting. And I decided to take her out on a date, and I just pulled up to a park. And this time I had an SUV, and I had to. I pulled up the trunk, laid the seat down on the back seat, and nothing crazy. So we laid the blanket out, and I had food prepared for a picnic, because I ain't like sitting in the grass and stuff. So that's why
it was gonna be itching,
right? So I laid that out, and I had balloons in the back and everything. Like she noticed none of it. She noticed none of it.
What was you doing?
I popped the trunk and laid the seats down and stuff, and we had a little picnic there, and we just sat there and talked, and had our little picnic for a couple hours. So I believe that anything that's within those parameters will be something that she'll be content with.
Okay, and this is another thing. What's your favorite thing about your wife? I'm safe, so don't say nothing crazy. My ears are gonna burn. I was like,
that's hard to say. Not because there's nothing there, but there's different things. Like, I like that she can be corny sometimes.
Because you're corny.
And I just be like, bruh.
So, but she's your cornball.
Yeah, right. It's just certain things, and I can't really say a lot of them.
If you looked at her right now, what's the first thing you'll notice?
She's trying to hold the smile back. But if I just look at her, just look straight at her.
Oh, you got it like that? You just look at her, she smile?
She just gonna start smiling. Because she's gonna be like, what are you looking at?
All right, sis, what's yours? What's your, like, thing to put a smile on his face? And then what's your favorite thing about him? Or when you look at him, what do you see?
All you gotta do is make him a mistake.
That's it? Are you simple?
He's honestly not a complicated guy when it comes to putting a smile on his face.
Okay.
Even, like, coming home, you know, little things like candles and a steak or, you know, let's watch a movie, you know, just, and the kids are probably, you know, watching TV or in their own little world. We'll put a movie on and we'll watch it together. Like, he is excited about a Netflix show or new shows coming out, and he'll be like, you know, watch it with me. Mm-hmm. That'll put a smile on his face. You know, just us, you know, watching shows together. We even get crazy in Uno, like the Richardson stuff. We'll play Uno all night, all day. Mario. Like, you know, we're like, when it comes to games, or like, we got this thing on our phone where it's like tournaments we have, and we'll be like, Jamila be like, okay, I'm gonna add you in the game. No, okay, add me. And we'll be on the phone all night for hours, sitting right next to each other, playing the game. Like, all with each other, though, like,
she can beat me. I'm talking like Uno, Tunk, we do Bible trivia, all that stuff.
We be like really in competition, like, it gets real.
Okay,
but,
real.
But it be all love and jokes. And
I like that.
And then, to put a smile on his face, oh, you got a nice haircut.
But it makes you smile.
Who not gonna smile if they be like, you
nice? And I say little corny things. I be like, what's cooking, good looking? You know what I mean? No corny, no corny.
But you love it. But you love it.
He loves it.
Like, that was so corny, man.
Or I'll do something, or I'll look at him and make a funny face, and he'll bust out laughing.
So y'all both goofy and corny. I got it. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, she'll sweep that in there, baby. I'll hold your corny.
I'm cool.
All right, you still good, Stacia? All right, well, I go first. So
I'm so proud of you today. You just,
man.
Bold.
So me and Yusuf is like kind of opposite. He's like more laid back. Y'all think I'm shy and quiet, but at home, no, I be having him cracking up. I be cracking all the jokes and just being silly.
Corny.
Well, yeah, pretty much. And that's what put a smile on his face. He just be looking at me cheesing.
No, she be acting a fool, dancing around. It's always playing, saying some crazy stuff. And this is like, what you talking about?
We be laughing now.
It's funny. It's silly. Put a smile on. I can just be sitting down watching TV and she'll just come and just do some silly stuff, you know what I'm saying? Just do some silly stuff, get my attention, and that's how we start to get to conversating and talking and things of that nature.
Oh, that's so cute.
And my favorite feature is your smile.
He gonna be cheesing all night, y'all.
Right. Well, a thing that me and Stacia do, we are some caffeine heads. We
obviously
drink coffee. So it's a simple ride to Starbucks, you know, with a conversation and of course enjoying some coffee together. But you know, that really puts a smile on her face, and you know, whatever tension is going on or whatever the case may be, if the day is good, make the day better, you know.
Especially with a cup of coffee.
So,
yeah.
That's always our go-to, you know what I mean? And Stacia like to play games, so not game, like she like to play games as far as like little, like if you go to Chuck E. Cheese and make a little basketball game. And,
let me find out y'all be at Chuck E. Cheese with all the kids.
Go. Hey, we go to Dave and Buster's time to time.
Let's go.
That's not the go-to every day, but we have time to do stuff like that and that nature's bumper cars or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know. That's
laser tag.
Laser tag.
Oh, let's go. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't saying right. Nothing but words.
Stuff like that, you know. And I guess my favorite feature is her smile, but it's not just like her smile as in like her showing teeth. It's her eyes smile too and they glow. And it's like,
she going to the Chinese eyes.
Yeah.
Write
this one down.
Right. That was good, Yusuf. Since you can stop smiling now.
Right.
Iron Richardson. Well, y'all kind of tell us about y'all Valentine's Day, but outside of that, if you had like a night where somebody can watch the kids, what's your go-to for each other? And then what's your favorite thing about each other? Yes.
We always have them.
Really? So if you were able to, like if I said drop them off, because y'all know I will. So this little mama get a little bigger, I'm like drop them off. What y'all doing?
We may go downtown and go walking. Go to the lake. We really don't know. We our whole time we had them, they doing us.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. We've had like sometimes we like quick little dating, but we so thirsty.
Yeah, we want to go home. Yeah.
Like.
To get to the kids. Yeah.
See, they only have one child for a majority of the time. So the majority of us, we got two. We got a family over here with three. We have three.
We have five boys.
Five over there. So dropping the kids off is something special to us.
Right, yeah. right.
It's going to be real special to them, too.
Right. They got to go.
But so what's your favorite thing about Robbie, Indy?
Well, you know what? Let me not discredit. When we stayed at our old house, Shana would actually watch Duda all the time. And we would just go. We went to the Lincoln Dinner. I don't know. We went to places that kids can go. And now we didn't have a choice. But what's my favorite thing about him?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite feature is his eyes and his smile. I love when he sleeps.
Creeper. Hey, bro, you were one hour over now.
Yeah, nah, you watch you while you sleep.
You were sleeping too.
Creeper. And then something that excites me is that God bless me that my children have his eyes. So it's like, oh my God. I'm in the world.
But can I put my little thing in? I just want y'all to know I hooked them up. So I just had to put that out there.
Yes,
they are happy married because of me. Amen. Me and Jesus. Yes, me and Jesus.
Sure did.
What about you, Robbie?
I'm going to be honest with you, too. I mean, I guess it's the same thing. Like, I mean, it's not trying to be cheesy and that, but her smile
it's okay, it is.
Thing I'm attracted to her. Cause, I mean, when I first seen her smile, I just.
I knew you would. I knew you would.
What did he say?
We need to be on
when he seen my picture.
Yeah, he was
awesome. That's my wife.
Yep, sure did. Yeah, that was the first thing he seen. Yep.
Because I had, you know, had my flip phone. And my dude, I told you, man, I was living a different lifestyle. I had no apples and apples. I ain't one of my own. I'm a bitch.
You ain't want that, bro. You ain't want. You was cool with your
I
flip.
I didn't have Instagram, none of that stuff, man. I had to send me a picture. I'm like, God, well, I seen the picture. God told me that was going to be my wife. So.
Oh, my God. It sounded like that man that sang. What's his name? Charlie Wilson talks like that.
Hey, he do be singing
yes,
like that.
He
oh, my goodness. Yes,
he would
say that.
Yeah.
In case the listener ain't caught on, everybody got amazing smiles over here. I don't know if they caught that.
Yes.
Everybody got amazing smiles around.
But wait, here. You ain't tell me what.
Yes, he did. Sis, where was you at?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. We got to record it, sis. Sorry.
Shoulder.
We got it on record.
Oh, my God. Don't
he loved your smile, sis.
It's something that'll make her smile.
I
I've done it. It's weird because I've done a lot. And I mean, she is pretty cheesy. I mean, they could really, really just doing something as simple as watching one like a romantic movie. That's not my thing. Mm-hmm. I can't really, I don't like romantic movies at all. Like, it's so weird and cheesy. Like, sitting down watching a romantic movie or like a Tyler Perry or.
Yes. Don't do him like that.
I mean, his movies is okay, but I'm just saying, like, this is
predictable.
She want to watch some cheesy movie or something together. I mean, cause my thing is, she like to relax in the bed and watch a movie or something together. I mean, I'm more of I want to go sit on the couch, you know, chill. And if I come up there and watch a movie with her, you know what I'm saying, chill, order something to eat, or whatever. That's something that's I want to make her happy, man. And really listening to her. Mm-hmm. She likes to talk about, you know, what she wants to do business-wise or for the future, different things. Just sitting there actually just listening to her. I mean, because you know how we can get kind of to a place where we just not listening to
zone
our lives,
out. Zone you just out. Keep nodding your head.
But
not a smile.
Be actually in engaging in the conversation, like really listening to her about what she wants to do. I mean, that really makes her happy.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Yes.
All right, Deacon Kyle.
Okay.
Y'all can just keep putting this on me. She wants anything that's really thoughtful. You know what I mean? It's thoughtful. It's thought out. It's not rushed. It's something that's. I think for Valentine's Day, we did. She came home from work, and I said, "You have to go straight in the room. You can't." And then I locked her in the room for about an hour or
literally,
whatever.
Rapunzel, like.
And so I cooked, and then I had rose petals. And then I had candles on the floor. And so,
trying to burn down the house.
See, here we go. But like her thoughtfulness, she was just like, she had that done before. But she was like, ooh, I can feel that the rose petals are real. You know what I'm saying? She saw that the meal was prepared. Like you can taste the stuff that was that. My favorite feature is her smile though. It's always a smile. It's the first thing that you see when you see somebody. Her smile, she has dimples and whatever. So she has dimples, and you know, like that's how we met. We met dancing, in a sense. You know, my brother. We met dancing. My brother was DJing their family reunion.
And you challenged me.
And my brother he does this 20-minute workout. That he does with the Detroit Hustle. We had always gotten it wrong. It's the Detroit Hustle. And he speeds it up. And so she had on heels. And, you know, as you know her, she had on her heels. And I was like, you can't do this in heels. And she did it. And we tied. She said she won. We tied.
I won.
We both lasted the entire 20 minutes. So it was
you
a tie. Away
before this
okay, ended. Whatever. And so, you know what I'm saying? From that moment on, we have literally talked all the time ever since, and that was almost 9-10 years ago.
Wow.
So you know that's how we met, and so it's always those little small things, and so her smile like makes my entire day.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's beautiful.
Ma'am.
Okay,
come on, we got
all right. Okay, okay, yeah. So, if I want to do something for you, I can just bring you something browns because, you know, I was probably gagging the whole time I was trying to purchase it. But the fact is, I know that's what you like, so I will get it. Like, you know, I got the shirt the other day.
Yes.
I actually pulled over on the side of the road. There was a man selling brown stuff. And I'm like, okay. My conviction was like, you know he'll want that shirt. I'm like, but I'm not going to buy that. It's brown. So I pulled over, stopping traffic, cutting people off, just because I knew he would appreciate it.
You know, that ain't good enough. You gotta go to a brown store.
Okay, you push it. Okay. Baby steps. Baby steps. So I, you know, grabbed a shirt, and I mean, although I threw it at him when I got
here.
I got to his brother's house, but he opened it and realized what it was and was like, oh, you actually paid my money for something brown. He knew that was a big thing for me because I don't do that. And for him, it's simple, like just cooking. Or I'm very demanding at times.
Yes.
And bossy. And so I'll text him like, when you come home, change your clothes and we're leaving. And he's like, where are we going? Okay, you're asking too many questions. Just do what I ask you to do. Like, you know, I mean, you know, that's how I am. But my favorite thing about him, I tell him all the time, yes, I love his dimples, but his heart. His heart is the most beautiful, pure, loving thing that I've ever experienced from my past relationships, especially being married before. That was the first thing I wanted to notice, was someone's heart, because that's who they are.
Yeah.
So experiencing that, although we've been friends for years, it's always just been friends, although we kind of knew we liked each other in a way. But to fully have it and to fully experience it in a different way was beautiful. So, yeah.
So, you know, it's about that time where we go ahead and wrap up everything.
I got my
She has the thing that she does. It's called her Dee Dee's doses or Dominique's doses, whatever. We do it. It's her prescription for the week. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and hand that over to you.
All right. So my prescription for the week is this. When I tell you I love you, I don't say it out of habit or to make conversation. I say it to remind you that you are the best thing that ever happened to me. So when you tell somebody you love them this week, make sure you tell them that they are the best thing that has ever happened to you. So yeah.
Also, let me piggyback off that. I lied. So I love her. No, listen. I love her smile, but we have sat here multiple times, and it's the way she prays. The way she prays is the most phenomenal thing to me. Because I've always been taught to pray, but she prays and you know what's coming from her heart. You know what I mean? Like, it's a natural ability that she has. And everybody doesn't have that. You know what I'm saying? Some people are forced to pray, or some people are then taught how to pray. When she prays, everyone feels it around her. And I love that about her. So that would actually be my thing, is her prayer. But yeah, I thank everybody. You know, we gonna get this in. We gonna continue to do it. Our episodes are now out of order, but that's also fine.
We have to do it while we had y'all here.
Yes. But we gonna get it in. We gonna put this out. This will be probably available tomorrow morning. So, you know, listen, tell everybody, like, subscribe, everything. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Love Variants, LOVE. VARIANTS. This is the thing we do the whole time. If you listen to the first few episodes, you understand why she didn't know how to spell it at first. So that's funny.
Are you jumping like I'm gonna hit you with something?
She abuses me, y'all. So That's it.
It's not true.
But no, we thank everybody for coming.
Yes, we appreciate
this,
y'all.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
At everything. This was wonderful.
Yeah.
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 No, it is on